Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to have you back. Today we're going to chat with Victoria Wood from Biblio Lifestyle all about book collecting. So Victoria, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Nice to be with you, Laura.
So happy to have you here. So tell us what you've been up to as you're getting ready to get a reading guide.
Yes. It's been busy with the summer reading guide. I'm super excited. It's normally the biggest guide of the year because we do seasonal guides. We had the winter, we had the spring, now summer, and of course, fall will be coming up as well. But summer is the largest guide. Really excited about it. We're going to have 8 to 9 categories, lots of new books, and yeah, just lots of summer goodness. I'm really excited about it.
Oh my gosh. And you'll be coming back later on this summer to talk about the summer reading guide with the Millennials Guide.
Yes.
So be on the lookout episode. It's coming. We have it on the plan for the people. So in that the minimalist episode, we'll have about 5 to 6 books for you to pick up. It's like the minimal list. So, you know, if you're looking for something quick to fulfill your summer reading and like TBR, this is like the easy entry point, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because the summer reading guide itself will have about 40 plus books.
Yeah.
So the good news is with the minimalist list, you will have 5 to 8 options. 8 is the maximum number. So you can mix and match your reading. And the good news is if you follow the minimalist list, you will be reading a diverse range of books because we're picking a standout romance, a standout historical fiction, mystery and thriller, cozies, and so on. So yeah, you'll get a great roundup of some of the best books coming out this summer. And that way you don't feel too pressured to feel like, oh my gosh, I have to read all the books. No, we have a minimalist list just for you.
Yeah. And let's talk about your newsletter because I feel like that's where you include the information, but talk about why we should join Biblio Lifestyle and get the newsletter every Friday.
Yes. So I think the newsletter is one of my favorite things to do, actually. So the Biblio Lifestyle weekly newsletter comes every Friday. It's kind of an edit. I split the newsletter in two. So on Tuesdays, you get more of a personal journal entry. So I'll share, hey, this is what's going on, but I'll also share just a handful of curated books with you. It's also a great way to stay updated with the latest and greatest. Plus, I share reader responses. I love talking to readers via the newsletter. They'll respond to the questions and say, oh, hey, this is what I'm reading. Or these are the book-to-screen adaptations we were watching because that was something we recently sent. We also ask about monthly TBRs. So the thing about the Tuesday Journal edition is that you're hearing from me, but you're also hearing from other readers as well. And I think that's really fun. But on Friday, I call that the weekly edit. So that's where we do a deep dive into one topic. So it could be a genre topic. It could be a celebration that we're doing for the month. So you might find a Pride Month edit, for example, a Caribbean reading edit. But you'll also find author edits. So for example, Where to Start Reading Toni Morrison or F. Scott Fitzgerald or Jane Austen, by the way, which was a very popular edit. Readers love the Jane Austen edit. It was so much fun. So yes, you'll find the author edits, you'll find topical edits, seasonal edits, right? So even with the summer, there's going to be a summer reading edit. So their themes, their genres, their authors, but the Friday is just a roundup of some really good things, plus updates on what we're working on and what's new. And it's just a great way for you to go into the weekend. So I hope you'll sign up for the newsletter and join me there, bibliolifestyle.friday.
So in today's episode, we're going to chat about one of your passion and hobbies of yours, which is book collecting, which is I want you to go over what is book collecting, tips and tricks, and all the different resources for beginners.
And eventually we may do an intermediate or an advanced level book collecting. But for a beginner, someone who's starting out as a book collecting, what is book collecting? How is it different from book buying or from book acquisitions as we, you know, we do when we peruse our bookstores? What is the difference between both of them?
Yes. So book collecting, book buying, and I'm going to also add book reading are three separate things and three separate hobbies. But when it comes to book collecting, the first thing I always try to do is kind of do some myth busting, because I think people feel that book collecting is all about buying those rare books and getting their hands on, you know, prized first editions and purchasing books as an investment. So while there is a place for that, 100%, there is a place for that. When I look at book collecting, I think of it more as a hobby and doing it for pleasure. So there is a huge market when it comes to resale, and we'll get into that. But I always say to readers, approach book collecting as a hobby first and approach it from pleasure first. Because once you kind of go about it that way, then if you do decide that you want to get into rare book collecting and book selling and trading, then that's a whole separate thing. But book collecting is more goal oriented. That's what I like to say, just to keep it very simple. It's more goal oriented. And when you're purchasing a book, it's helping you achieve that goal for that book collection. So just going to the bookstore and seeing just some beautiful books and you're like, oh my gosh, this is cute, or this looks great, and you buy that book, again, there is a place for that. That's book buying. That is not book collecting. So book collecting needs a clearly defined search for books. So again, it could be special editions. You could be collecting an author. You could collect titles, maybe from your childhood, that hold a particular significance. Or it could be your personal interest. It could be a historical period. It could be a genre. The bottom line is you have to have a clearly defined purpose that you're collecting. And that's what separates just compulsively buying books because, oh, this looks good, or buying books because I'm interested in reading. Because what you read is not necessarily what you collect, and what you buy doesn't necessarily contribute to having a good collection. So they're different approaches, like I said, but when it comes to just someone starting out, I highly recommend that you have a goal, but also focus on collecting books that you like or that have certain interests to you.
And how did you get started? Like, when do we, you know, what would be your entry point from your beginner per se?
So again, the first principle is always collect books that you like, right? So the first step to book collecting is to start with the books you already own, because I think that readers would be very surprised to learn that they already own books that would make for a great collection. So to start your book collection, go through your shelves and pull out any, let's say maybe a particularly old book, a valuable book, or a sentimental book to you. Because this will form, I believe, the foundation of your collection. Another thing is, as you're going through your shelves and, you know, you're looking at the different books you have, start to think about what type of book collector you want to be, or what kind of book collection, or what kind of books you want to collect, what kind of collection you want to have. So as you're going through your books and you're looking at what you already have, start to think to yourself, do you want to focus on first editions? Do you notice you have a lot of books by a particular author? Do you want to focus on a particular genre or a time period or a particular publisher? That's also popular because publishers do have special editions. So just start going through your books, see what you have. Once you have an idea of what you like or what you'd like to add more of to your collection, then it will become easier to find and start shopping for them. So again, think about a specific collecting area. I always say, maybe think about those books that were childhood favorites of yours. That's a great place to start. Childhood favorites is a broad definition, just like classic literature. It can be overwhelming. So then narrow it down. So are you looking for a particular author of your childhood? I was speaking to an author yesterday and she loves Roald Dahl. She read all Roald Dahl books. So now she's on a search to kind of build out her Roald Dahl collection. It helps that he's a prolific writer. So that's a great place to start. if you're like, I like classic literature, okay, what classics do you like? Do you like Victorian era? Do you like Harlem Renaissance? Are you looking more towards romance? Are you going towards a particular author? So think about these topics, collect those books. And again, like I said, don't overthink it. Collect what you love. But again, the whole idea is to say, this is my definition. These are my childhood favorites. The thing is, you want to also, not that you're collecting for other people, but let's say you have family or friends come around and they're like, wow, you know, you have some really great books on your shelf. What are these about? You can immediately say, oh, these were some of my childhood favorites that I collected. Or this is my Jane Austen collection. Or I'm very interested in the Harlem Renaissance, so I have all of these. Or I have all the editions ever published of Rebecca, for argument's sake. So again, it's having that clearly defined line, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I love this idea, because I think when you think about collecting, you want to think, you think the bigger picture of like all the first editions, all the books, all the stuff, like having a bell library of books. But the reality is that we have limited space, we have limited resources. And so it being very specific and having a purpose, it gives you an opportunity to think about it and understand it and enjoy it, like beyond just the purchasing. Enjoy the fact that it brings you back to your childhood, or joins back, or it gives you a sense of like purpose of like, this is something that I'm passionate about and I can actually reflect it and I can go back to it over and over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are books on my shelves that I revisit at specific times of the year. I mean, Christmas is an easy one. I celebrate Christmas and I find myself always kind of going back to certain books because it provides that comfort. It also brings me back to my childhood. I think about reading these exact same stories, you know, with my nan growing up. And then it's like, oh, wow, now you're doing the same thing with your children. Maybe it's something they will pass on to future generations, or you have these traditions that you do with your family. These are the same things that I want people to think about when it comes to books. It's that feel good feeling. I want you to feel good about the books that you have and the books that you own, because books are an investment. You know, you do spend money on them. I know people might trivialize, well, oh, that was just $10, $15, $20. But I'm telling you, as you keep shopping, it accumulates. And before you know it, you might have thousands of dollars on your shelves. I know I do. So you want it to be thoughtful. You don't want it to be hodgepodge. You want it to have meaning.
All right. So let's talk about where to buy them. Like, what are some of your tips and tricks? So where to source these book, you know, collections?
Yes. So once we've kind of decided on what we're collecting, you know, we have this clear definition. Now it's time to shop, which in my opinion is a fun part because I love to shop. So again, like I said earlier, start with the books you already own, right? So maybe it means shopping your shelves, because as you've gone through, now you decide that, okay, these are the books we're going to keep and so on. Now, when it comes to shopping, I highly recommend that you become a regular at your local bookstore. And when I say local bookstore, I mean new and used. If you're serious about collecting, I also want you to go to yard sales, estate sales, charity shops, thrift shops, and also reputable online marketplaces. I think that's also very important because, and I say reputable because, again, you might see listings for certain things and they're not what they seem, but also seek out dealer newsletters, dealer pages, find catalogs, because they will send this stuff out. So look in your area for new and used bookstores. Look online for new and used booksellers as well. I would highly recommend you make sure that they're registered with whatever bookseller association is in your area. There are rare and antique book dealers that are registered. I think that's very important, especially when you're investing in an edition that costs hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. You want to make sure that they're reputable. That's very important. So I want you to have an open mind. I don't want you to just approach it from buying only new, especially when it comes to physical books. Be open-minded to used books as well, especially because depending on your collection, you might find that certain books are out of print. So now that we know where we're buying, you know, we're buying in person, we're buying online, I want you to also pay attention to the condition of the books that you're purchasing. Now, that's very important. Now, even though I am focusing on collecting for joy and collecting those editions that have sentimental value or topics that you're interested in, I always say it's much better to have a small collection of high-end, high-quality books than a large collection of low-quality books, especially if this is something you're intending for either resale or something to pass down to future generations, right? You want these books to be able to hold up. So I want you to think about the condition of the books. It's also a very important consideration, when buying books, because you want to be able to buy the best book that's in the best condition at the best price. So this is where shopping in person, going to yard sales, going to estate sales, going to charity and thrift shops come in handy, because then you can actually inspect the book that you're thinking about purchasing. You can look for signs of damage, such as, you know, missing pages, water stains, loose binding, because all of these things can affect the price of the book, the value of the book, not just to you, but when you're buying it. Because, for example, if I see a book priced at $50, right, and this book is out of print, I know normally in print, it would probably be, say, $20, right? But if the condition isn't all that great, I'm going to be bartering with this person. I'm going to say, hey, you know, it has this water stain, this is broken, it has, you know, these marks and so on. Instead of paying $50, you pay maybe $40 or $30, depending on how low you can go. So that's why I do feel if you can buy in person, that's great. If not, if you're purchasing online, then I want you to pay attention to the category the books are in. So some common categories might include mint condition. So these are brand new, zero defects. You might have near fine books. They show slight signs of wear. Very good books are well maintained, but they might have minor defects. And minor defects sometimes just means sign of use, meaning you can tell this book was read. It wasn't just purchased and put on a shelf. Good and fair books means that the books are in, you know, complete condition, i.e. no missing pages, nothing is torn, but it shows more significant sign of wear, meaning this person maybe didn't care when they were reading or when they were storing, so you see more significant wear. And of course, a book in poor condition has serious flaws. So I want you to pay attention to the terminology, especially when you're purchasing online. Again, check the seller's feedback and rating. Check their return policy. I remember when I was shopping, actually, these books are on my shelf. Okay, Remembrance of Things Past by Marcel Proust. Penguin Clothbound Editions created a box set with three books in the box set. It was a limited edition. Unfortunately, I did not get the box set, so I had to purchase the three books individually. That is fine because they published them individually and I was okay with it. However, I got volume one and volume two. Volume three, I had a hard time finding. I ended up finding an edition in Canada. I ordered it. I'm in Florida for reference. And when the book arrived, it was described in a certain condition, but the condition I received it in was very poor. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't want this. Fortunately for me, the reason I took a chance on that book is because of the return policy. So because I was able to return the book, it was like happy days. It's all good. I did end up finding it with another online seller. You know, the condition was, I would say, very good. It wasn't mint. It wasn't perfect. But I was happy with it because that way I was also happy to get that edition. Another edition that's really hard to find, especially in a Penguin Cloth Bounds, is Crime and Punishment, the very first edition. You would be hard pressed to find that. When I do visit the UK, I will go to every and any yard sale or estate sale just in case someone's a book collector and they might have it, because that's the only way I'm going to get it, because it was a limited run and because the press was bad, they were not able to print that same color again. So now the new Crime and Punishment, you might be saying, but wait, Victoria, you can get Crime and Punishment in Penguin Cloth Bounds. Yes, but it's not the first print run, which is a different color. So, you know, these are just some subtle things. So when you become serious about your collection and you're hunting down certain editions, you might have to make certain compromises. But again, I want you to pay attention to the condition of the book. And lastly, when it comes to shopping, you have to have a book budget. This is a hard part, I have to tell you, because it's like you see a book, you want a book, and you're like, yes, it's like me trying to get that Proust edition. And it was just, you know, the only one out there. I'm telling you, there were editions out there for $300. Granted, this was probably $25, $30 when it was first printed and first available. And I remember I was going through moving during that time. So yeah, the last thing I wanted to do was buy a book. So when I got settled and I started looking online again, $300, $500, ridiculous prices. I set a budget for myself. I was like, I do want this book. I want it bad. But I refused to pay over $100. What that meant is it took me much longer to find the book. It required lots of patience on my part. But I did end up finding that book. And I think I paid like $55, $60. So I came in on the budget. So the thing is, I know wanting something bad, i.e. wanting that Crime and Punishment edition, people are selling it for over $1,000. I was not going to buy it. So I think it's very important to create a budget, stick to it if it's possible, where you have like a monthly budget, roll it over to the other month if you're not able to buy it. Also have that emergency budget, because maybe if I saw it for $120, I would have purchased it. So have an emergency budget just in case, because sometimes you're out and about, you see it that one time, it's a grab and go situation because the odds of it being there again are very low. But I want us to exercise patience when it comes to the budget and stick to it as best as possible.
This is so helpful for you to think about, like, budget and looking what the condition looks like when you're buying online and what it does. And so what to source and to what things to look for. Return policy is an important thing. What matters to you? If you're looking for a book that you definitely want to have, it doesn't matter the condition. Maybe a poor condition may work. But if you want a mint edition, if you want almost as new edition, you'll look for that. And it's just like any type of secondhand book buying. We had an episode about Pango Books, and that's a place where you can buy secondhand books. And one of the things I look for when I'm buying a book is like, what is the condition? What are some of the damages? What damages for me don't matter. What damages for another person may matter. And understand, what is your minimum standard for the book? Is it just a crinkle page on the side? May not matter to you, but for somebody else, it may matter. So take a look at all the pictures. Take a look at all the different things. Look at the reviews. Look at basically specifics. What are they saying about their customer service? It is so important, especially when you're buying online. You're taking a risk.
100%. And I in my case, I would love to have the Crime and Punishment Penguin Cloth Bound first edition on my shelf. However, I don't want it to read Crime and Punishment. I've read Crime and Punishment. I have the newest edition. I just don't have the first. So in my case, for that particular book, it's definitely more about the aesthetic. So I wouldn't necessarily accept a poor book. Now, on the other hand, there's a book from my childhood I read in school. It was called Green Days by the River. It's by Michael Anthony. He's a Caribbean writer. I read it in school. Absolutely love the book. They have an edition out, but it's not the edition I had as a child. Now, if I found the edition that I had as a child, I would be willing to take a poor condition. I really don't care at this point. I just want the original edition of that book because it's more of a sentimental thing to me to have that. So in that case, the condition doesn't matter. So it all depends on the situation and what you're willing to compromise and what do you care more of. It's like Mr. Boddington's. I love Mr. Boddington's editions. Again, at that time I was moving all over the place, so having a physical collection wasn't important. I'd love to have Mr. Boddington's editions, but I'm not willing to pay a ridiculous amount because, again, I have these in other editions. So, you know, you have to weigh the pros and cons of each.
Yeah. And so we got to talk about storage, because how do you store books?
Listen, that is another important topic because, okay, we talked about defining the collection. We talked about where to buy these books. We talked about budgeting because that's very important. So it's fair to say, even if you're just buying these books as a hobby, you know, sentimental value, or just wanting to have a clearly defined collection that reflects your personality or your interest, the bottom line is this is dollars on your bookshelves. You know how Carrie Bradshaw says she loves her money. She loves to see her money in her closet. Well, I love to see my money on my bookshelves. And the reality is you are spending money. So because you're spending money, it's important that you take care of your investment, right? Because think about it. 5 books at $20 a piece, that's $100. And if you times that by 10, now you're in $1,000. So it's very important that you take care of your books. Most collectors, like myself, consider them as an investment, not necessarily to sell, but as a preservation for the next generation. You know, if you have family members, because it's not limited to children, because you might have children who don't care about books, right? But you might have another family member. You might have a friend out there that you would want to pass on this collection to. Have a neighbor child who just loved coming over and reading your books, and you realize this person, this child, this individual, this adult values this collection. You want them to inherit them in the best condition possible. That's how I'm thinking about it. So when it comes to caring for your books, be careful of breaking your book spines. This is where the most damage occurs. So yes, you can read these books, but I don't want you facing your books down, like open, facing them down. I don't want you to dog air your pages. I want you to use bookmarks instead. When you're storing your books, it's always better to keep them upright. Even though I have some books lying flat on the side and stacking them, it's very important to keep your books upright. Use bookends if necessary, because this will prevent them from falling over and getting damaged. When it comes to storage, it's very important where you store your books, right? Think of a place in your home that is out of direct sunlight, away from radiators, away from any air conditioning that you might have, like external air conditioners and so on. You want to keep them away from any extreme temperature. So sunlight is light, radiator is heat. Air conditioning is probably blowing cold air, you know, if you live in a hot climate. And these elements will condense, especially like a radiator and an air conditioner. So you want to avoid moisture. You also want to avoid places that have a swing in temperature. So high, low. I remember at my family home, when it gets cold, it gets cold. When it gets hot, it stays hot. And we had one room in particular that was always very drafty. So that is not the room you want to have your books in. So be mindful of where you store your books. And then lastly, I want to talk about cleaning your books, because I think it's also important to clean your books. Now, you might have your books on shelves. The most common thing that will happen is dust. You need to dust your shelves. I will occasionally take like a Swiffer and just Swift top, bottom, side, in front of them, you know, get in between depending on where they're located on the shelf. So be mindful of that. Depending on what kinds of books you might have, you might need to clean them. You might see nicks. You might spill something. Use a soft cloth and a gentle cleanser. Avoid any harsh chemicals at all. I mean, even soap. Start with water. That's what I always say. And just, you know, be very mindful, because they can damage the book's cover and the pages. But I think the biggest thing, if temperature is your problem, if spillage and food and just other things, dusting, dust your shelves regularly. The same way you'll hoover through your house, you know, vacuum. Just take a Swiffer and just go up and down your shelves, because they accumulate lots of dust. So yeah, I think those are the main ways you can care for your books.
I love this. And so what's your favorite book collection that you have?
This one is tough because Laura can see my book collections in here. So I love my Penguin cloth bounds for sure, but they have these little mini cloth bounds now.
Yeah,
I think they're really cute. They're also, I think, a bit more diverse in the stories that they tell, and especially those shorter stories. But I have to say, I love my Wordsworth editions. They're absolutely stunning. Wordsworth does a really great job. I have the hardback, the classic hardbacks. They also have beautiful paperback editions as well. What else am I looking at here? Oh, I love Folio Society for gift quality editions. They're absolutely beautiful. If you want a set, they're really good at putting together some great sets. I also just love standalones. Like my favorite Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier edition is by Folio Society. my most readable editions, meaning I read these books without any care to how I handle them because they hold up really well, are the Canterbury Classics. These are kind of like flexi-bound, kind of like they feel leathery, but they're in beautiful rainbow colors. But I'm telling you, if I'm reading a classic book, I might have an edition that I love, that I care more about maintaining the condition of that book. I won't read that one. I will 9 out of 10 times read the Canterbury Classics editions because they hold up really well. But my most recent collection that I'm in love with, because trust me, I can talk about this all day, my Harper Muse painted editions. These were hand painted by an artist who, I forgot her first name, but I know her last name is Fowler. They are absolutely beautiful. I think lots of readers might know Coralie Bickford Smith as a designer for the Penguin Cloth Bound. Plus, she's very visible on social media and she's great. You can always pop in her DMs. But the Harper Muse painted editions, they are absolutely stunning. It's like having a book that is just beautifully painted. The pages, I'm looking at them from my shelf, have gold trim. They have a beautiful bookmark in there as well. I think those are great giftable editions. Odds are I'm probably not going to read from that book or those books rather, but I just love looking at them on my shelves. They're like beautiful paintings. So whether you display them forward facing or just the spines, I think they're very pretty to look at. And lastly, a new collection that you can start now because they're not like rare yet are the new Penguin Vitae editions. So I know lots of people love Penguin. Yes, they've dominated the market when it comes to collectible editions. But the Penguin Vitae editions are new. They're hardback. I think they hold up well. I've read 2 books and zero damage to the spines. Oh. So that's always good. And yeah, they're new. So if you want to, you can get into that collection. They're pumping out the books like crazy though. So take your time and collect them. I think I want to end by reminding people, don't feel like you need to buy all the books all at once. Because if I were to do that, I couldn't pay my bills and I couldn't eat. So I want you to take your time. So if you are feeling a bit overwhelmed and you're saying, oh my gosh, Victoria, I looked up this collection and they're absolutely beautiful, but where do I start? I mean, what books should I get? Here's my rule of thumb. If you're approaching a collection that's brand new, or not brand new, but has been in existence for a while, and there are like 12 books already in that collection, and you can buy the 12 books right away because it's lots of money, start with the oldest books first. You need to know what were the first books in that collection that were printed first, because those are the books that usually go out of print first. It's the oldest ones, right? Yeah. So start from the back and then work your way up to the front. That's what I would recommend because the oldest books tend to go out of print. It's almost like the Harper Perennial Olive Editions. These are paperback. They're $10 a piece. Beautiful spines. If you look them up, you'll recognize them. But by the following year, if you want that, you're probably paying $50 a pop because it's a limited print run. So always start with the oldest books, then work your way forward. And if you can't go all that way back, just start where you are now. Because again, with the Harper Perennial Olives, I don't have every single olive edition. I just started in 2020, so I have those years going forward. So it's okay also not to have everything in the backlog.
I love this. Thank you for introducing us to book collecting. So tell us where you can find you online.
Well, you can find me online on all social media platforms at Biblio Lifestyle. I would really appreciate it if you'd sign up to my newsletter. It's the best way to keep up with me and see what's happening and what's new. I also share book collections in the newsletter as well. So sign up at bibliolifestyle.com. And if you're listening to this podcast, you can listen to my podcast as well. So you can find me on the Reader's Couch, wherever you're listening to this show.
And if you have more book collection questions, feel free to email them to me at laura@whattoreadnextblog.com. And I'll invite Victoria to come back and answer your questions. So we'll have a follow-up episode just to all your burning questions of book collecting. Now that you got started.
Yes, send those questions in to Laura. I'd love to come back and chat book collecting with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Victoria, for being in the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.